And welcome back to Nightside. My name is Eric Rung. This is 720 WGN broadcasting out of Chicago, the greatest city in the world. And with me is Mr. Paul Lisnick.
Hey, Eric. Great fun. We get to step out of the TV studio tonight and have fun in the radio world. And what we've got to do now is, you know, New Year's Eve around the corner. How many dates do you have lined up for that, Eric?
I can't say that on the radio.
Oh, you could. But listen, I think I'm staying home watching movies. But anyway, it struck us that that a lot of people out there may have questions about what to wear on New Year's Eve, how to look fashionable.
Not you, though. You don't have that question.
I don't have that question. No, right. I have a lot of questions about that. We got some horns, by the way, New Year's Eve horns. And also where to go, what kind of entertainment might be out there. So we thought it might be a great time to introduce listeners to some of the possibilities. So joining us is Mark Roscoe. He is the founder of Mark Roscoe Design, which is incredible in the work that he does for...
You've seen his stuff.
You've seen his stuff. Everybody's, I know, on Facebook. For women, it is just unbelievable. It's some of the most gorgeous women's wear I've ever seen. And a new men's line, Mark, is coming out, right? So that's coming out soon for men?
Correct, in March.
All right.
2019, Eli Roscoe.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, it's called Eli Roscoe with your partner, Dr. Eli Soto, for that. And also joining us, we have one of the brightest, best sort of singers, a Chicagoan, who you just catch all over the city. And I know, in fact, the night before New Year's Eve, Blake Alexander, you will be performing. Where will that be?
I will. That's going to be at the Merchandise Mart. So I'm going to be starting at 7 o'clock.
You're also
I'm sorry, 8 o'clock.
You're also a man of many wonders because I know you've recently opened a restaurant.
I have.
And you'll be open for New Year's Eve, so I guess, are you going to sing at the restaurant?
I will be singing on New Year's Eve, yeah. We're having a big special that evening.
So. I love it. What's the name of the restaurant?
Blake Alexander's Hog Haven.
Hog Haven.
Yes.
It's our kind of food.
Where was it located?
Crown Point, Indiana, so 3838 West 141st Avenue.
So you're making the trip back and forth then.
Yes. I'm used to being in my car.
By the way, I got to say this because I took a look at like the menu for that night and whatever. That is like, you know, when you go out on New Year's Eve, you spend like hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Sure.
I don't, but maybe you do, Eric.
Well, for all my dates, would you add it all up? Yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? Let me tell you, you might want to take her here because can you tell us what you're charging that night? Because I saw it.
$20.19 to bring in the new year.
Unbelievable. Wow. 2019.
So, what do you get with the $20.19?
It's bread. Bread.
Bread. Bread and side salad.
A cup of water, no ice.
Exactly. No lemon, no ice. So we're having two drink tickets included with that, as well as a buffet from 7 to 9, and then I'm going to be entertaining from 6:30 until whenever I stop. So it could be 11:30, it could be midnight.
Depends when you stop drinking.
That's when I'm definitely going to stop singing. I probably won't start the drinking until about 11. So,
all right,
got a long
night.
Do
you have a certain genre that you go for?
I just kind of feel the crowd out, but I do a mix. I do all the, you know, the oldies, the standards. Then I do modern stuff, Bruno Mars covers, Robin Thicke, Michael Bublé, Sinatra, all the good stuff.
Yeah, I've always thought of you. I've heard you, and that's the flavor I have. Sort of that Rat Packy. You know, the folks who love music from the 50s, the 60s, mm-hmm. the 70s. You're right there with all that. But you're a young guy. What got you into that?
My grandparents. I spent a lot of time growing up with them, and that's just what they would play, whether it were in the car, on a cassette tape, or at home on a cassette tape.
Wait a minute. I love that work. Does that mean I could be your grandfather?
I don't know. I'm 25 pushing 50 or 60. So.
All right, Eric, I'm going to do the math on that, and you just...
you know I'm not going to do math. That would just be a bad idea.
But let's talk to Mark if we can.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, when we think about New Year's Eve, that's a special occasion. You want to get dressed up. I mean, maybe not go tuxes, but what should we be looking for here?
Well, I mean, holiday attire differs from the location of the party. It could be a black tie event, or it could be kind of a spinoff of a cocktail attire with a little festive twist to it, to the ugly sweater. I mean, it just depends what your host is.
The ugly sweater thing, that for Christmas, that makes sense, right?
Well, there are ugly sweater parties even for the New Year's party.
Oh,
okay. But I mean, it typically is, you know, a tuxedo or an upscale cocktail look. which, you know, could be a nice suit and tie, and versus the tuxedo, the black tie look.
Now, I see you've got the jacket and the vest on underneath it with the tie.
It's radio. He wanted to look good.
Well, he definitely looks better than both of us. No question about that. But the vest is something that I kind of go back and forth on. For a guy my age, I mean, should I go vest?
You know, vests are very versatile, and what's really nice about them is if you take the jacket off, you still have a dressed up appearance, and it also adds a different design element. And you know, especially for a holiday party, you could do something that has a little sparkle to it that jazzes up the look. Absolutely, it's an appropriate look for holiday, and it's an appropriate look for office, and you know, casual with a pair of jeans. So the vests are coming back, and you know, in pretty strong force.
Should you on holiday time? Is this the time? You know, I'm in Christmas time. People have just the strangest looking Christmas suits with trees all over them. I shouldn't say strange. It makes them happy, so wear whatever you want. But on New Year's, I mean, is it sort of time? Yeah, wear the red, wear the black. I mean, bring out the color or do what you want.
Well, you know, I think it's nice to add the holiday color, you know, the reds and the greens and more holiday hues. But I think, you know, a tartan, something that is a little bit more sophisticated for New Year's Eve, is a real nice print to pull in. I would stay away personally from the reindeers or the Santa Claus heads, but you know, there's some really cool ties, cummerbund and bow tie combinations that have, you know, champagne glasses on them, you know, a smaller print that is a little bit more delicate in its look, that's still, you know, very classic looking. So
Eric should take those antlers off that he's wearing here.
Good choice.
So what about women? Are we talking ball gowns or what are we talking?
Well, and again, it depends who's hosting your party and what the invitation says. You know, oftentimes when you're invited to an event, they'll say black tie or black tie optional or, you know, casual attire. And so
follow directions is what you're saying.
And if you're not sure, ask the host. And if there is no direction, then err on the side of a little bit more formal look, because no one's going to fault you for looking more pulled together. You know, but for women, you know, cocktail dresses, you know, sequins, you know, beading, that's all appropriate. You know, we're expecting more of a sparkle for a New Year's event.
Well, by the way, I know we're going to take a break, but I just have to notice. Do you notice Mark and Blake? They're both wearing pocket squares that don't match their ties.
Now that I'm looking,
right?
Now that
right.
You pointed it out,
because
yes.
When I buy bow ties, I get them with matching pocket squares. And Mark, you've told me don't do that.
They should match. A complementary pattern or a complementary
should
color,
not should
but
not,
but they should not match
right.
each other.
That was so scary.
All right, we do need to take a break. Our guests are Blake Alexander and Mark Roscoe. Thank you guys for being here. We'll be right back with more on 720 WGN.
Just want to give a couple roses to a pretty girl I know. Baby, we can hit the matinee to a show. She says she likes
Whoa, that, ladies and gentlemen, is Blake Alexander.
What a voice.
Oh, and then it comes in a little bit there. Blake is in studio with us. He not only is a performer, singer, restaurateur as well. Blake, tell us a little bit about that song.
So that song was just, well, it actually took about 2 years to write.
Yeah, you wrote it, right?
I was writer and co-writer. My other counterpart, brilliant, brilliant composer, his name's Adrian Ruiz, took part in that song. And, you know, he composed as far as the music goes. That all started off with me literally humming the melody into my phone. And he just took it from there. And, you know, I had my input with, okay, well, I want, you know, the strings to come in at this point. I want the drums to kick in at this point. But I still want it to sound old school, how it did in the beginning. You know, like you're at a...
Yeah, that was very kind of...
speakeasy.
Right, Rat Pack-ish,
you know,
for sure.
And then it just kicks in with that pop feel to it. So, you know, Ben One and one of my best friends, Steve Ford, they all kind of collaborated on some lyrics and stuff like that. And, you know, it all came together. But it took 2 years, but it is finally now where I wanted it to
be. So is the goal for you the CD that is created with all of Blake Alexander original music with writing partners, or is it the covers that you do of the Michael Bublé's and the Frank Sinatra's and those folks?
Actually, when I do come out with the EP album, which is about five or six songs, that's all going to be original stuff.
Oh, wow. Tell us, yeah, I always find it interesting, we're kind of in the creative field. We write, we talk, we do that kind of thing a lot, and just out of curiosity, where's your inspiration coming from when you sit down to write a song?
Life, honestly. I could be driving in the car one day and, see some birds and the sun gleaming down through the clouds, and it just looks like God, just
how does
just
that song
speaking.
Go?
I can't even think about it right now, but sure. Stuff like that would just hit you just out of random, and it just kind of goes from there.
And by the way, you're multilingual. You also sing in Spanish, is that right?
I do sing in Spanish, yes. I can understand Spanish perfectly, and I can read it perfectly. I cannot speak it perfectly, though, and I cannot speak it fluently. So if it's written out for me, so if I'm describing, certain things that I wanted to say, it could be written, and I can read it like I've been speaking it all my life. But
is it easy to write? I've written a song for Eric. It's called The Top Rung of My Life. I just wrote that as I was sitting here. Actually,
it's beautiful.
Thank you. You haven't. That's just the title.
It could use a little work. That's why we got Blake here.
Blake, take this on. It'll kill your next EP.
Like just the way the sun is shining off the lake and
on the top rung of my life. Yeah, that's just, right. I think it works. Hey, so when you write this stuff, I've dabbled in writing. I don't know if it's very good and all that, but do you have to run it by people? And sort of say, is this good? You trust yourself?
I do trust myself for the most part, but I think that all of us, in general, you have to have in these days a second opinion, a third opinion, 150, 500 opinions before you can actually, see if it's good or not, because it's not what I'm necessarily going to choose that's going to put my brand out on the board. It's going to be the public. So no matter what I think in my mind that I like, it's not about me at the end of the day. It's about what the public likes.
So I've got to take it over to Mark Roscoe. He's our fashion designer with tips for New Year's. But Mark, as Blake just talked about, it's what the public thinks. And I think of your work. And as I said, if people, follow you on Facebook or other social media or your website, they can see the incredible designs that you do for women, men to come, but women now. So I have to ask you the same question, because I look and I think they're incredible. But do you design for this is what the public will like? This is what I think. Is it your inspiration? How does it start?
Well, it's my inspiration, but it's often it often evolves when we're designing for someone as we begin to know the person that we're designing for and their personality is coming through as the design process begins. It also is governed by the event for which we're designing, the season for which we're designing, what role you're playing in the event that you're attending. So there are a lot of components with respect to what that ultimate design looks like. But the bottom line is, it's really about the woman for whom we're designing. And
this all started with your mom, as I remember.
It did. My mom was a plus-size woman, and she had difficulty finding clothes. And so it used to break my heart when she would come home from a shopping excursion empty-handed and in tears. And so I purchased a sewing machine, and I taught myself how to sew, and I started making clothes for her. And as she started, feeling good about clothes that actually fit her, she started taking better care of herself. And that's actually how our brand began, because different women and different men who had heard about what we were doing for my mom thought, gee, I also have the opportunity to look as good as I possibly can. And so they started seeking us out and asking that we design for them. So that's actually how the brand began.
Eric, actually, Mark is a lawyer by day, so it's not as though he went to design school.
That's what I was going to ask. You said you bought a sewing machine, you taught yourself how to sew. Right. Where did you get the idea that you could even do this?
We were raised, I was blessed with a wonderful mom and dad. We, instead of sitting around talking about people and gossiping, we shared ideas and we created things. And so it wasn't uncommon as we were, at a young age, just making things at the dining room table. My dad was really good at architecture. And so we learned at a very young age to work with our hands. As it turns out, architecture is really the basis of designing. It's finding the right silhouette for the frame that you're designing for, and so it came very naturally for me because that's what we were exposed to growing up. But, you know, as Blake said, there's kind of an innate talent that you have that sometimes you don't realize until you start tapping into it because of life circumstances that allow you the opportunity to do so. Obviously, I can't sing because when we were young, I'd sing in church. My mom would tell me to hum. So I mean,
that's right. Blake can't make dresses.
I wasn't blessed with that talent. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there are times I'm sitting at the design table and I'm sewing, and we've talked about this before, Paul, and there are things that I know how to do mechanically that I've never been taught, that oftentimes I think, gee, where did I learn how to do that? And I've never learned how to do it. It just comes to me instinctively. So it's, you know, when you have a certain talent, it's a blessing to be able to pursue it and to you know, drive some joy through that.
Is it harder to come up with things on your own, or is it when somebody commissions a design, do they just say, hey, do what you do?
Well,
or do you have a good idea?
We have, you know, I always encourage women to come to the table and men to come to the table with an idea. You know, I ask them to look through magazines and to see what, you know, their eye is attracted to. And oftentimes, you know, they come and they're spot on, but, you know, oftentimes the look that they're going for really doesn't work for their frame. And so, you know, we start draping fabric over their bodies and get them to understand that there are things that we want to camouflage, there are things that we want to accentuate, which are the positive parts of their body. And so that's where the design of the garment actually begins evolving. But it starts with a concept that, you know, this is kind of what I like, and we try to stay, you know, true to what their aesthetic is and putting our spin to it.
By the way, Eric, you've seen Mark's work. You don't even realize it.
Oh, no, I realize it.
I don't mean that. But our colleague, Micah Mater, has emceed things. She's gone to the Emmys, and she's worn Mark's cadet. She looks absolutely gorgeous when she wears it.
She's a beautiful woman, and I love designing for her because she allows me to just create. You know, she, you know, may have an idea for a color or style, but she'll say, make this, and she'll wear it.
You know, and Eric's a nice-looking guy, too, so I don't know if that's Eric, the, I know Eric, you just designed something for James Franco's brother, right, Tom?
Yes.
Franco? So that's the movie world, Eric, and you're a step away from getting into the movies. Oof, if you get,
man,
a Mark Roscoe design.
I'm going to ask you about that when we come back right here on 720 WGN. Well, I wish we were opening a bottle of champagne, but it's close enough.
We will be.
Now, here in about a half hour or so, that is Blake Alexander, who is not only a singer, restaurateur as well. That's an original tune, right, Blake?
It is, yes.
He is obviously in studio with us. And we also have Mark Roscoe, who is here, a fashion designer. And first, I have to say, you guys look great for radio. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Vests, ties, pocket squares. Woo. Of course, Eric and I are wearing the same thing because radio people can't hear us, can't see us, so we might as well say we're wearing the same thing.
But while we're on the topic, though, what are some things that you see, Mark, that people are doing, both men and women, that maybe we should not do anymore?
Well, I think a lot of it is just learning what looks good on your body. You know, it's about the fit. When we do custom work, we don't talk about size. We talk about, you know, what fits and understanding what looks good on your body. I mean, oftentimes when things look askew, you know, on someone's body, it's because it doesn't fit properly. Or people, you know, have a tendency to dress, you know, not appropriate for their age. You know, we have women who come in their 40s and 50s, and it's a great age for a woman. They're seasoned. They've gone through a lot, but they still want to, you know, wear the midriff like they did when they were 20. And they're just, there's a certain time when you have to say goodbye to that clothing and you know, embrace who you are and where you are in your life and find what complements, you know, that woman. And so, you know, those are the things that I, you know, that I encourage people to look at when we design for them. But, you know, I always say to them, no matter what we design for you and no matter how beautiful we make you look, it's still from what you bring to the garment. And I always say to people, and your smile is your best accessory. And so, you know, teaching people that we can only change you so much. You really have to, you know, wear the garments and let the garment wear you.
I think one of the things that I definitely had to learn, especially once I got to Chicago, was the fit.
Right.
Because I think I was wearing clothes that were too baggy a lot because they were comfortable to wear. But once I learned the fit, I mean, that was like a game changer as far as the clothes I would buy and things like that. How do you tell people this is how you know it fits?
They know. You know, when you're trying garments on, we have sample garments that we try on, and especially for women, as we're creating the garment for them, they start feeling it. It's like putting on a pair of gloves, and you know when the fit is right. If it's pulling, if it's too, you know, if it's snug, it's a sense of your body is telling you, you know, what is good, what feels good on you.
I know one thing. When I started, you know, getting fitted for clothes, my first initial reaction was, no, this is too tight. It's too tight. But now I can't imagine not wearing. And actually, the person that was helping me out, she said to me, "No, it fits."
Right.
Which was an interesting way of looking at it, I thought.
Well, and it is. And, you know, and the styles, you know, especially now for, you know, the younger men, Blake's, you know, age and Blake's size, you know, the jackets are shorter, the pant legs are a little bit, you know, more snug or a narrower fit, a 7-inch versus an 8 or a 9-inch. But you have to have the body for that. You know, someone who is 60 and my weight, you know, if I put that suit on that Blake is wearing, it just looks like I'm wearing my son's clothes and they're too small for me. And so, again, it's really knowing your body and understanding that what looks good on your body.
So you've got the men's line coming out soon. Yes. That's going to be known as Eli Roscoe Design.
Correct.
Your partner, Dr. Eli Soto. I know Eli. I've met him, and he wears a lot of vintage clothing and all that. You mentioned earlier, you talked to Eric about, you know, well, you shouldn't wear certain things if you're beyond a certain age. The question I have for men is, it seems that sometimes styles come around. Wide ties, they're wide, they're thin, they're wide again. As I said, Eli, who looks and pictures of him on your website as well, wearing these incredible vintage clothes from sometimes the 30s, sometimes the 70s.
Sure.
But it all works. Is it a different ball game for men?
We are making it different for men. You know, we're introducing, you know, more of a fashion-forward aesthetic in our new design. And it is bringing forward, you know, garments that you saw in the 20s and 30s and 40s, but making them more current. You know, the wider lapel is coming back. In Europe, it's already back. And so, you know, the peak lapel that was, you know, 3 inches is now 4.5 inches. And it's just a great look that, you know, in mixing plaids and stripes and you know, doing the pocket squares and the carnation, you know, accessories and the cufflinks. I mean, there are so many things that men can do to really jazz up an outfit that you know, was, you know, not available in years past. That our line is for a man with a strong sense of style and the confidence to express it, and that's what we're trying to get men to more feel.
Eric, keep plaids about in mind the next time you're on TV.
I'm on it.
When you're at that murder scene or something like that in plaid.
I'm not going to go with that one.
All right.
When you look at Blake, he is a younger man,
yes.
And you look at his style. First of all, Blake, how did you come up with your style here? I wish people could see it because you look great.
Thank you.
But tell us a little bit about your style, because your sound is definitely speakeasy-esque for sure. So tell us about your look.
It all started with James Bond. My father introduced James Bond to me at a young age, and ever since I saw that on screen, I want to say I asked for a tuxedo for my eighth, when I was eight, Christmas or nine.
Sure,
Christmas.
Yeah, we all do that.
And I would wear that thing to school. I would wear it to the grocery stores. I mean, I just loved.
You felt good.
Yeah,
you feel
good.
Cool.
You feel good when you dress good.
Yeah.
And then when I perform, I believe that, you know, if my audience is coming to listen to me and they're respecting me while I sing, you know, dressing a certain way, you're respecting your audience at the same time. So,
Mark, you're looking at it. You're studying it. What do you see?
It's exactly what we're doing. I mean, he's got three prints. He has three prints going on here in his jacket. You know, again, the peak lapel, that's about 4.5 inches wide. He's selected the perfect tie for it. Your tie should be similar to, in width to the width of the lapel, and so he has a little wider profile on his tie. A real subtle print that goes with the, you know, a little bit more bolder print on his jacket, and then just this delicate striped shirt. And so he has three patterns with a pocket puff that is, a solid fabric that just pulls it, you know, it's a great harmony in the look.
Well, he knows harmony. Created.
He does. Absolutely.
Well, we are coming up on news time here. So before we get there, first, Mark, tell us where people can find you.
We can find us on the web at markroscoedesign.com. We also are on Instagram. Our men's line is at Roscoe Couture is our women's line, and at Eli Roscoe, our men's line.
All right. And Blake, where can people come find you?
Blake can either be on Facebook if they search under Blake Alexander, or BlakeAlexanderEntertainment.com.
And the restaurant, if they want to come for New Year's Eve and come join you for $20.19.
Blake Alexander's Hog Haven.
Hog, it's like barbecue, I think, right?
It's a modern barbecue. It's when I had the aspiration for it, I wanted to give the people a fine modern dining experience without the prices and amazing food. Family of four can come for $80 without drinks. So
it's incredible.
Did you grow up with in restaurants? I
grew up performing in a lot of restaurants. Yeah. And eating, of course, in a lot of restaurants. I may not look like it, but
well, you're young. It'll catch up with
you.
Trust me.
Yeah. So, but that was my vision and goal, was to give somebody an elegant dining experience with great food. And you're
performing that night as well. And then New Year's Eve, you're at the merchandise market.
I am. And they can purchase tickets there at highsight.org.
All right. Perfect.
Well, great stuff.
Yeah. Blake, Mark, thank you guys so much for joining us here. We'll definitely be looking to see what comes next from both of you.
Thank you.
Very exciting stuff.
And I want you to record the song I wrote for Eric, The Rung of Life.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, we're going to have to wait till he drives home to get some inspiration, to get some lyrics. I mean, you got the title.
If we're going to wait for that, this song will never get written.
Well, the first one was 2 years. I mean, come on.